Have you ever wondered why some professionals seem effortlessly navigate their careers while others remain stagnant despite their talents? Michael C. Heider's The Power of Choice offers a compelling answer. The difference lies not in innate ability, but in how we respond to challenges and opportunities. This transformative book has become required reading at leadership development programs across Fortune 500 companies, with executives from TIA, Johnson & Johnson, and Merck crediting its principles for their career breakthroughs. Drawing from decades of experience developing diverse talent at Korn Ferry, Heider presents a framework that has helped thousands of professionals, particularly those from underrepresented groups, overcome workplace obstacles and engineer their careers by design rather than default. The concept of efficacy, making strategic choices to maximize development and achieve the highest return on effort, stands at the heart of this practical guide that has quietly revolutionized how ambitious professionals approach their careers. What does it really take to advance professionally? Many ambitious professionals, especially those from underrepresented groups, wonder if they must work twice as hard to achieve recognition. Through extensive research across organizations, Heider identifies three critical skill areas that consistently differentiate successful professionals: technical skills, operational and analytical proficiency, relational skills, connecting effectively with others, and influential skills, engineering mutually beneficial solutions and selling ideas. While technical competence establishes credibility, it's merely the foundation. Consider Joy, an overworked Asian American tax consultant with impeccable Ivy League credentials who remained stuck in her position. Despite her expertise, she limited her advancement by failing to delegate, develop others, or build relationships beyond her immediate team. From her leader's perspective, there was little incentive to promote someone who worked tirelessly at her current level but showed limited capacity to support others and appeared cynical about the organization. Another illustrative example is Marcus, a brilliant software engineer who consistently delivered exceptional code but struggled to advance beyond senior developer. While his technical abilities were unmatched, his tendency to work in isolation and difficulty articulating complex concepts to non-technical stakeholders held him back. In contrast, his peer Sarah, with comparable technical skills, advanced to engineering manager by actively mentoring junior developers, collaborating across departments, and effectively communicating technical decisions to business leaders. The reality is that as professionals advance, organizations expect them to influence others' work and contribute more broadly to business objectives. Technical skills may get you in the door, but relational and influential capabilities determine how far you'll go. This explains why two equally qualified professionals can experience dramatically different career trajectories, one advancing steadily while the other remains stagnant despite their expertise. Research shows that successful leaders spend up to 80% of their time on relationship building and influence activities rather than technical work. This includes activities like mentoring team members, building strategic partnerships, navigating organizational politics, and advocating for resources and support. For instance, effective engineering managers often spend more time facilitating collaboration and removing obstacles for their teams than writing code themselves. The good news? These skills aren't innate talents, but learnable capabilities that improve with focused attention and practice. Specific strategies include seeking feedback from trusted colleagues, volunteering for cross-functional projects, participating in leadership development programs, and finding opportunities to present to senior stakeholders. Many organizations also offer formal mentoring programs and training workshops focused on developing these crucial interpersonal skills. By developing proficiency across all three areas, you exponentially increase your options and capacity to engineer a more satisfying career. Success stories often feature professionals who deliberately work to strengthen their relational and influential skills while maintaining their technical edge. This balanced approach creates a powerful foundation for sustainable career growth and leadership effectiveness. What if the greatest barrier to your professional growth isn't external obstacles, but your own beliefs about your capabilities? Hyder challenges the fixed capacity mindset, the pervasive belief that intelligence and abilities are innate, unchangeable traits, that silently undermines many professionals' confidence and ambition. This mindset creates a destructive pattern. When we believe our abilities are fixed, we interpret failure as evidence that a task exceeds our capacity. Since we view capacity as permanent, we assume we'll never improve, leading us to avoid challenges where we fear inferior results. Even at elite institutions like world-class research facilities, accomplished PhDs fear reaching their intellectual limits when colleagues make greater breakthroughs. Research in brain development increasingly confirms that a capacity-building mindset more accurately represents human potential. This perspective recognizes that most people can rapidly develop new skills through sustained engagement with challenging tasks. Learning comes from effective effort, not innate ability. Studies by Anders Ericsson demonstrate that practice and effort, not natural talent, differentiate levels of accomplishment across diverse fields: chess, golf, surgery, stock picking, software design. When we observe skill differences, we often overlook the impact of focused effort. The chess master who's practiced thousands of hours, the numbers genius who studies complex spreadsheets, or the natural-born leader who's been honing leadership skills since childhood. Hyder shares his own journey improving as a presenter, learning from a colleague's preparation methods and gradually becoming proficient through practice, proving that current capability isn't predictive of potential development. The most striking difference between mindsets is how each handles feedback, especially failure. With a fixed capacity mindset, failure confirms inadequacy, creating a self-fulfilling prophecy where we avoid challenging tasks and never improve. With a capacity-building mindset, failure provides valuable information about how to improve. The psychological shift is enormous. Failure transforms from something shameful into useful guidance. By embracing the capacity-building mindset, you free yourself to pursue growth without the paralyzing fear that you'll reach your limits. You can approach challenges with curiosity rather than anxiety, knowing that each experience, whether success or failure, offers valuable feedback for your continued development. How do you maintain confidence when others doubt your abilities? Hyder addresses the reality that societal stereotypes and others' low expectations can undermine our confidence and development. Despite diversity progress, lingering questions about certain groups' abilities persist. When we internalize others' doubts, we begin questioning our own capabilities, creating a destructive cycle. This pattern creates a downward spiral. Low expectations erode confidence. Compromised confidence diminishes effort, and diminished effort leads to poorer performance, which then confirms the original low expectations. Low expectations aren't always obvious. They might appear as subtle cues, like being overlooked for opportunities, feeling invisible despite your title, or well-intentioned advice to avoid stressful promotions. The first sign that low expectations have affected your self-confidence is often avoidance or procrastination, accompanied by seemingly reasonable explanations. You might tell yourself a challenge isn't interesting, important to advancement, or that you lack time. People typically stay busy with non-critical tasks, withdraw from projects, use family needs as an excuse, avoid risks, or deny areas needing improvement. Breaking this cycle requires embracing the capacity-building mindset, believing you can learn any skill through effective effort and using failure as feedback. This mindset makes you less vulnerable to external doubts about your capabilities. While you can't eliminate stereotypes and low expectations, awareness of how these messages affect your confidence gives you greater choice in how you respond. Hyder shares the example of Alberto, who, after one difficult presentation, concluded his accent prevented him from taking leadership roles involving public speaking. Through coaching, Alberto made a more objective assessment. He communicated effectively day-to-day, but needed to practice strategies for speaking when nervous. Rather than closing doors prematurely, he could build confidence through practice. The key insight is that regardless of what others say or do, your power to engineer desired outcomes rests on how you respond, not the stimulus itself. Be vigilant for signals that low expectations are eroding your confidence, and never let others diminish your belief in your potential to develop. Confidence isn't just believing you can accomplish a task now. It's believing you can learn how to achieve objectives, even if you can't do them yet. When you believe you can improve, you absorb feedback that enables learning. True confidence leads you to ask what information you can extract from each experience to be more effective next time. Two critical factors for building robust confidence are self-talk, what you tell yourself about why you succeed or fail, and the support of those around you. Self-talk is our inner dialogue about outcomes that can either erode or build confidence. Confidence eroding self-talk includes "I'm not good enough," statements that reinforce beliefs about lacking ability, logically leading to avoiding challenges. Another harmful pattern is attributing failure to bad luck or external factors beyond control. Confidence building self-talk starts with owning successes, acknowledging your role in engineering positive outcomes despite cultural messages about humility. After failure, the most confidence-building approach treats failure as feedback about improving future efforts, not as an indication of worth or potential. Three simple questions maximize learning. What happened? Why did it happen? And how can I improve? Explaining failure in terms of effort puts you in control, reinforcing belief in your ability to create different outcomes. Equally important is surrounding yourself with people who nurture your confidence. A genuine support network doesn't just offer empathy for frustrations, but helps solve problems, asking, "What are you going to do differently?" rather than enabling blame of external forces. Seek people who believe in you and push you toward action. They'll build your confidence faster than those offering only sympathy. Some people and situations will inevitably test your confidence. While you can't completely avoid them, you can minimize their capacity to undermine your belief in yourself. Anticipate challenging situations and develop strategies to stay focused on your abilities. For specific anxiety-inducing responsibilities, develop strategies to reduce stress. Some people list their strengths when feeling shaky. Others exercise or journal their feelings. The more confident you are, the broader your vision will be, the more challenging goals you'll set, and the more choices you'll create for yourself, ultimately becoming a more developed person with greater impact. Having confidence is critical but insufficient for long-term growth without effective effort. Many professionals mistakenly confuse working hard with working effectively. Like Jermaine, who works long hours processing insurance claims but declines opportunities to develop new skills. You might work diligently without getting the best return on your time investment. Effective effort begins with clarity about your desired end result, both short and long term. Without a clear destination, you'll likely waste time going in circles or become distracted by obstacles. When you know your goal, you can navigate detours while still reaching your destination. Career clarity often requires trial and error, as illustrated by Hyder's journey from medical aspirations to accounting to human resources to retail operations and finally to Korn Ferry, where helping others develop aligned with his values while meeting financial needs. Dream big, but work toward your vision in manageable steps. Development requires continuously stretching yourself. Start with what's achievable today, then take on slightly more challenge with each success. Through this incremental process, previously unrealistic goals become attainable. Sales professionals often achieve unrealistic annual targets by focusing first on reasonable quarterly goals. This approach builds expertise and confidence while providing valuable feedback. Effective effort also concentrates on what you can control. Following the power of choice principle, it's not the stimulus, it's the response. While you can't change your boss's personality, you can choose how you interact. You can't prevent economic downturns, but you can control your response to business challenges. When feeling overwhelmed, break down goals into manageable chunks, as one professional did by starting with children's books to build foundational knowledge before tackling complex economics textbooks. Finally, align your efforts with organizational needs. You may be talented and busy, but without connecting your work to what matters to the organization, recognition and opportunities will be limited. Start by understanding what makes your manager successful. As you establish yourself, expand your contribution by influencing others' work through coaching and mentoring, moving beyond individual contribution to multiplying your impact. Success requires making strategic choices about how to invest your effort. When you make these choices wisely, knowing your desired outcomes, focusing on what you can control, expanding skills incrementally, and aligning with organizational needs, you maximize your return on investment. No matter how hard you work, you won't be valued as integral to your organization unless leaders and colleagues know who you are and feel comfortable working with you. In today's workplace, people with strong relational skills, the social grace to navigate diverse interactions and build trusting relationships are most sought after. These connections make your expertise visible, help you identify influential allies, and enable mutually beneficial collaborations. Relationships require deliberate effort. Many professionals miss valuable opportunities to connect, as illustrated by attendees at a networking event who failed to introduce themselves to their CEO despite having the perfect opportunity. To overcome these obstacles, prepare in advance. Develop a memorable introduction, highlighting what makes you interesting, whether professional accomplishments or personal passions. One quiet consultant leveraged his weekend motorcycle racing hobby to create a memorable impression, connecting it to his professional approach to calculated risk-taking. Finding common ground serves as the foundation for working together effectively. Look for shared goals and responsibilities, being genuinely curious about others' objectives. Common ground comes in many forms. You don't need to share working styles, gender, or cultural identity to connect. Listen attentively to understand others' perspectives and unearth shared interests that can form the basis for partnership. Sometimes you must help others see what they gain from working together. Early in his career, Heider worked under a store manager who made disparaging remarks about customers and staff, particularly black employees like himself. Rather than leaving, he focused on finding ways to support the manager's priorities, boosting customer service scores and reducing inventory shortage, making him look good within the company. As the manager recognized how Heider benefited him, his negative attitude lessened, allowing them to develop a productive working relationship that eventually enabled Heider's career advancement. An effective network has four key characteristics: breadth, connections at various levels inside and outside your organization; quality, mutual understanding and respect; reciprocity, offering value to others; and dynamism, evolving connections that match your changing career priorities. Many professionals from underrepresented groups don't expand their networks sufficiently as they advance, feeling guilty about cultivating new relationships or facing pressure from early supporters. Your appearance and presence are an advertisement for why others should connect with you. While being comfortable with yourself is important, don't confuse style or appearance with your essence. Consider whether your presentation makes it harder for others to connect with you. Be sensitive to workplace norms. Dress for the job you want, not the one you have. If your style differs from organizational culture, take responsibility for the extra effort needed to overcome snap judgments rather than blaming others for intolerance. As you develop relational skills, you expand the range of personalities you can gracefully interact with, building confidence in what you offer to any relationship. This relational freedom doesn't come easily, but the effort to build meaningful relationships across a broad spectrum of individuals delivers significant payoffs in career options and impact. The ultimate aim is enabling you to shape your reality rather than having your future determined by others. The art of influencing others deserves special focus, as it's critical to managing your career and expanding your organizational value. This involves commanding trust and respect without provoking fear or resentment, becoming masterful at achieving important outcomes. Making a conscious decision to be influential is the first and often most difficult step. When you shape others' opinions and practices, you can't hide in the crowd. People expect you to have opinions and strategies and will challenge your ideas. This can be uncomfortable, especially for those whose differences make them feel they need to work harder to prove themselves. Many professionals from diverse backgrounds were taught to go along to get along or avoid challenging authority. However, this perceived safety comes at a cost. When you don't offer opinions, people stop seeking them. When you don't take control, others decide for you. When you don't shape others' commitment, you become invisible to organizational leaders. While some assume influence is an innate quality, it's a skill requiring practice like any other. Put yourself in situations that require shaping others' opinions and behaviors, experimenting with different strategies to discover what works. Study how things happen in your organization, how effective influencers create shared vision and commitment, present viewpoints that invite collaboration, and handle disagreement. Take an incremental approach. Share opinions with friends, offer perspectives to your manager, speak up in meetings, or lead small projects. To influence effectively, you must first clarify your desired outcome before attempting to shape a situation. This requires knowing your goal to measure impact and where you're willing to negotiate. Remain open to multiple paths to your objective, adjusting your approach when needed while maintaining focus on your ultimate aim. Rather than pushing your viewpoint, focus on why someone would adopt your perspective and make those benefits clear. Being a good influencer requires keen observation and listening skills to understand what others gain by supporting you and how to protect their interests while advancing yours. Any resistance you encounter rarely reflects on you personally. It signals you haven't convinced the other person that the benefit outweighs their perceived cost in time, money, inconvenience, or esteem. Most influence situations resemble icebergs. What's visible is only a fraction of the reality. Study your organization's unwritten rules about how decisions actually get made. Often, real decisions happen in one-on-one conversations before formal meetings. Calculate what's possible and understand the cost of your position, as inflexibility can damage your credibility. As your influence expands, you need connections with others who help shape outcomes. These alliances should extend in all directions. Frontline staff can sabotage implementation as easily as executives can kill budgets. Building alliances means establishing relationships where both parties understand shared interests and agree to work on each other's behalf. Effective influencers believe they have both the power and right to advocate for what matters to them. While respecting authority and recognizing limitations, they don't ask permission to pursue important goals. They give themselves permission, then develop strategies to gather necessary resources and support. Rather than thinking, "They won't let me," they ask, "What do I need to do next?" This fundamental belief places the power for change with the individual rather than abdicating it to others. The power of choice principles serve as a compass for navigating career decisions and obstacles rather than a prescriptive set of actions. They guide your responses to circumstances and help create the environment you want to work in. Real-world examples demonstrate how these principles can be applied to overcome common challenges. When facing low expectations, like Shaniqua, who felt overlooked in her investment firm's development program, focus on what you can control rather than withdrawing or blaming. Create comfort and build trust by making meaningful connections, whether through conforming or maintaining your unique style while helping others become comfortable with you. Remember, it's not the stimulus but your response that matters. Refuse victimhood, reach out to supporters, and employ effective effort to build personal equity that shifts focus from your differences to your expertise. When entering new environments, like Ricardo, who clashed with his team's collaborative culture, study the culture rather than criticizing. Understand the logic behind practices and adapt your style accordingly. Build relationships to accelerate learning about cultural nuances. Establish your value by understanding what's important to your manager and positioning yourself as supportive while bringing fresh perspectives. Before recommending changes, articulate how you'll contribute to team objectives and ask for input, showing you're aligned with the manager's priorities. As you advance, like Amir, who struggled to adapt his management style after promotion, recognize that your accomplishments must come through others' work rather than your own direct efforts. Your technical expertise becomes less important than your relational and influence skills. When facing seemingly unrealistic goals, focus on what's achievable rather than what seems impossible. Break large goals into manageable steps, apply what you learn to push further, and be willing to take risks. As a leader, prioritize effectiveness over being liked. Focus on building trust and getting results rather than friendships. To shape circumstances and influence others effectively, like Darnell, who successfully mediated a furious conflict between his company and a supplier, take control, prepare thoroughly, leverage relationships, and maintain focus on mutual benefits. Effective influencers assume they can shape outcomes rather than asking permission, working intentionally to develop productive relationships that provide insights about others' interests. They're willing to take risks and be proven wrong, focusing on mutual gains by understanding what each party sees a win. Looking back on 30 years since a life-changing seminar, Haider encourages readers to fully embrace responsibility for their personal and professional development. He urges thinking boldly about future possibilities, focusing on what can be achieved rather than limitations. The key is stepping out of comfort zones to shape circumstances, not letting others dictate who you are or could become. Managing a meaningful life and career requires active choices about development, understanding that setbacks are inevitable but provide valuable feedback. Surround yourself with supportive people who understand your goals and create forward momentum, especially during vulnerable times. The power of choice principles provide a way to take control and shape your life and career by design rather than default.